Hey friends, welcome to this week's episode of the Unseminary Podcast. You're going to love today's interview. It's with Mackenzie Schreck, and she is executive pastor at a church called Capital Church in Utah. It's a fantastic interview. I just really loved hearing from Mackenzie, learning from her. Today's podcast is brought to you by my latest book, Church Growth Flywheel. I would love for you to pick up a copy, or actually a few. You may be looking for a summer resource to train your team. This would be a great resource for you to use. Just drop by churchgrowthflywheel.com, where you can pick up a copy from Amazon or a few. And actually, I love this review that came in this week from Tina Gallagher. She gave it 5 stars and said, just great book. Thanks so much for leaving that review there, Tina. And again, I would love for you to drop by churchgrowthflywheel.com to pick up a copy. Now let's jump into our interview with Mackenzie Schreck. Let's go.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up, and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich, the host around these parts. So glad that you've decided to tune in today. I've got a new friend I'm excited to talk through and to introduce to you. You know, I love having leaders from kind of non-traditional, non-Bible Belt areas, and today we definitely have someone from that part of the world. We've got Mackenzie Schreck from Capital Church, which is in, wait for it, Park City and Salt Lake City, Utah. Fantastic church that you should be following along. And, you know, Mackenzie is the executive pastor there. She provides leadership in really all lots of different areas, staff and ministry management, finances, human resources. Mackenzie, we're welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So glad you're here today. We bumped into each other. We got to know each other quickly at the XP seminar, which is a fantastic kind of couple day conference in Dallas. And so it was fun to connect. I'm glad we get a chance to connect on the phone. Now, I know, so I was joking with you before we started. When we met, I was like, wow, I'm always amazed when I meet people that, you know, minister in unique places. And then when you said like, hey, we, you know, we're in Utah, which is a unique place. And I'd love to hear about that. So before we jump into all that, why don't you tell us about the church, kind of give us the Capital Church story. Tell us a little bit about the church. If people were to come this weekend, what would they, you know, what would they see? What would they experience? And then we can jump into everything else.
Okay, that's a lot. Let's see. Okay, Capital Church. So we just last year celebrated our 20th anniversary of doing ministry in Salt Lake City, which is pretty awesome. And I would say the landscape has certainly changed over those 20 years. There were not very many churches here other than the predominant church that you think of when you think of Utah. That LDS church that certainly influences the culture here quite a bit. But now there's some great churches here. There's a lot of great churches in Salt Lake City. But if you came to Capital Church, our goal, regardless of whether you have a Mormon background or you moved from the Bible Belt to Utah, is that you're welcome. We say our two things are to love God and love others. So if you came to Capital Church this weekend, you would be hopefully greeted with a smile at the door. You would be offered a really good cup of coffee. We love our coffee around Capital, which certainly sets us apart from—
I was going to say, you don't even have to get into the service before people know you're not LDS.
Exactly. And then, you know, it's really Bible-based teaching. Our lead pastor is Troy Champ. He's fantastic and really digs deep into the scriptures every week.
Very cool. Well, I'd love to talk about, you know, I don't want to, it's like, I don't want this to be like an oddity. Like, I don't want people to be like, oh, wow, it's so strange that you're, you know, you minister so many places where there's, you know, where there's, you know, obviously predominant LDS. What I do want to do though, is kind of help us think through how you interact with the kind of broader kind of spiritual, cultural community. You know, I think you're obviously a fairly extreme example. All of us have that. You know, the reality of it is in every community we're in, the vast majority of the people in our communities don't attend attend church on a weekend. And so the interesting thing is you just find yourself in a community where there is kind of an obvious cultural kind of connection point. And so I'd love to hear kind of how are you thinking about that? How you know, what is your approach? How is it that you're trying to deal with that? And then we can talk about, because I know there's lots of other cool stuff going on in your church too, not just the fact that, you're in an LDS world. But why don't we start with that? Because I think that would help us all as we're thinking about our, because it's kind of an extreme example where you are, but we all have a similar kind of thing going on in our communities.
Sure. It's interesting to be in America, right, with a historical basis of Christianity, but be in a community or an area of the country where, as Christians, we are the minority,
right?
And that's just different than a lot of places you go, right? So like when I was at XP in Dallas, I went to Starbucks every morning to get some work done before the session started, and each morning there's a different group of people in there, but different Bible studies happening at Starbucks. You don't see that in Salt Lake City.
Right.
You don't go to
Are there Starbucks in Salt Lake
City? Yes. Yes.
Okay.
There are. I got your
venti this morning.
Exactly. Again, we love coffee.
Yes.
but there's just that underlying tone that's a little bit different everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. There's certainly some really positive aspects to that cultural influence. The LDS faith is huge on family, so this is a very family-friendly place. Mm-hmm. But as a church, we certainly want to make sure, like I said, we're welcoming to everybody. We don't necessarily focus on reaching out to Mormons specifically.
Right, right.
There are churches here that do that, and they do it really, really well. Mm-hmm. Our church, you mentioned Park City and Salt Lake City. Those are probably the two cities in Utah with the most diverse population, though there's obviously still that sort of predominant factor. But, wherever we're doing ministry, our focus is really on discipleship rather than on kind of reaching one specific demographic and trying to convert. Though there are, like I said, churches that do that,
do
really well.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah, totally. Well, so I love that. I love just kind of pull apart a bit of a lesson there. I love the fact that you're saying, hey, we've kind of got to be about our game. We got to be about what we think we're called to, not start with, hey, where's the LDS church at? And then how do we, build necessarily specific bridges to that? Talk about the kind of the family piece of the equation. A lot of churches, and it appears, Capital City is no different. Church is, or family stuff is a significant piece of the puzzle and just our outreach and what we're doing and kind of our weekend services and all that. Have you seen that is a vital part of what you do? Is that a critical piece of the puzzle at Capital? And what are you doing on that front to try to engage with the families around you?
Yeah, definitely. Of course, on our weekend services, we may talk about this a little later, but some of the other challenges we're facing is just space right now. Mm-hmm. I love our problems, but we're busting at the seams. So our kids' rooms are maxed out almost every weekend, which is so awesome. Mm-hmm. But a big thing we do is we still do a 5-day or a 4-day VBS every summer.
Nice.
And every year we have families from Capital that end up bringing a friend.
Right.
Kids that bring in one of their friends who's never been to a church like Capital. And they're like, there's like electric guitar and drums and like snacks that are really awesome. Like, what is this? And they have, an awesome 4 days and they're like, can we check this out this weekend? And that ends up being a really safe entry point for people who care about their families, who are focused on their family, but are kind of intrigued by this Jesus thing. So
very cool. Now, one of the things I think I heard was actually, related to kind of the LDS stuff, is actually one of your buildings used to be an LDS building, right? And are there folks that are like a little freaked out by that or no, or not? And again, I realize this is an oddity for me. For you, it's just like, this isn't just a normal day. So I don't know why you're making a big deal about this. But I know for folks that are listening may find that interesting.
You're right. Thank you. I can't discount that like my normal is bizarre for everybody else looking into like the Salt Lake City Mormon bubble.
Yes.
Yeah. So our building was initially a Mormon ward. It was an immigration ward. Mm-hmm. And the church that came in prior to Capitol and purchased it from the LDS church then handed it to Capitol when the church planters came out, which is unheard of. I mean, it's really quite a miracle. They basically sold the building, gifted the building before Capitol ever had a church service.
Wow.
So it's so interesting to have that sort of history in the building. Every ward, well, I say every ward, but the majority of wards, which is kind of the weekend gathering place for Mormons, have like a gym floor in their building. And our main meeting room has carpet covering an old, like, beautiful wooden gym floor.
Oh, wow.
The layout is a little different than some ward buildings. We've obviously converted one room to be like a giant cafe that has our coffee bar. We have, you know, a main meeting room stage that would typically be kind of like a podium. So it feels different inside now, but we even a couple months ago had a woman come to the church on one of our Saturday night services and was like, I used to go to church here. Mm-hmm. I used to go here. This was my ward.
Crazy.
And it was like, crazy. Okay. You know, cause we don't think of it that way anymore, but it's a piece of our history. And I think it's a piece that, you know, when we remember that, it's really unique to see how God has transformed.
Totally.
What is happening there? You know?
Well, and that's a very Jesus thing. He's very good at redemption, right? He's very good at taking stuff and reusing it and saying, like, hey, you know, this is, you know, something that maybe wasn't used for the most positive, but now is being used to proclaim the gospel and see people grow closer to Jesus. I think that's fantastic. Well, a part of this story I love here is not just that your church is in the location you're in, but actually you're growing and, you know, impacting people. And I'd love to hear about that. Kind of, you know, you kind of hinted at this. You've got some gold-plated problems that, you know, the kind of every church wishes they had. But why don't you tell us a little bit about that? What, you know, kind of tell us a little bit about the pain you're feeling, you know, from a growth point of view these days.
Sure. Like I said, I don't ever want to complain about my problems because our problems are really great. We've had, you know, certainly not explosive growth, but kind of a steady year over year growth. We got a little good nervous when we looked at kind of our numbers, because we don't pay too much attention to the numbers, if I can be honest, but we looked at sort of our trending numbers and realized our summer drop off that always happens didn't totally happen. And then the fall increase still happened. And it was like, we're, you know, like looking at Easter and Christmas Eve, and we're adding extra services those weekends. I know a lot of churches do that.
Right.
But really, quite frankly, for fire code, like we had last year, some adults sitting in kids, bright yellow and bright red and bright blue chairs because we ran out of chairs, which is awesome.
Again, great problems to have.
Great problems. But, you know, we're surrounded by mountains on all sides. There's not a ton of land. Land is super expensive. So as we think about, okay, well, do we try and build somewhere and acquire some land? Mm-hmm. We love our location. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to be too far from where we are. So that makes it challenging. Do we just move to another building? Mm-hmm. Well, there's challenges with that when real estate is doing what it's doing in Salt Lake City right now. Mm-hmm. It's really expensive. Mm-hmm. We've even talked about, do we do like a video site or a service like that? And maybe it's a Utah thing, a Mormon thing, but video campuses have not historically done well here. I'm excited. So Levi Lesko's church, Fresh Life, just planted here.
Yep.
And so I'm really excited to see how they do, because they might kind of pave the way for other churches here to make that a little more normal.
Mackenzie, I've been involved in multi-site for over 15 years, and I can tell you, everywhere across the country, people have said, you know, I just am not sure that video would work in this part of the world. You know, people in California have been like, you know, I don't know if you know, but this is like entertainment industry. Or like when we started doing video campuses in New Jersey, you know, our lead guy, Tim's a great guy. He was like, I don't know, like our people, they're like Manhattanites. They like are in and out of the city. I just don't know that it'll work. So it may not work. Literally, that might be the place where it doesn't work. But I get that. And I totally understand that. Before we jump to you, I'd love to kind of hear your thinking behind, as you look at all those examples, what's kind of driving that. Let's step back. I want to underline one thing. When you talked about kind of the hidden growth, you know, you went through this summer And the thing I want to highlight for folks is I've seen that happen at our church as well, where you kind of come up through the spring and normally you anticipate like, hey, we should be seeing like a 15% drop or something like that. But then you get halfway through July and you're like, people are still here, you know, and it can be actually hard to identify that because it's not like it's not actually you actually haven't grown. It's not more people. You just aren't seeing a drop off. And, you know, that's an important dynamic, you know, and I've talked about that or I talked about that at our church around literally call it hidden growth. I'm like, what we're seeing is because we know that there is that drop happening. We know people are I'm not sure what they do in Utah. Do they go to the mountains? Do they I don't know. They go somewhere. They go away for the summertime and go to a lake house or whatever. We know that's still happening, but there's still people coming. And then you see that. Then you hit, it's like a tsunami. You then get into the fall and it's like, oh my goodness, all these people, you know, arrive. And so I think it's important for us as we're listening in to be thinking even, you know, you don't need to be obsessed about the numbers. I appreciate that you said that, but to just have a sense of those as they're rolling through is important. Yeah. Like, oh, this I think is a bit of a new dynamic. Obviously in your seat as an executive pastor, that's kind of your piece of the puzzle. So as you're thinking through these different, like find a new building, thinking about going multi-site, you're obviously watching Levi's thing, you know, you'll see it'll work. You know, there's a couple different options. How are you kind of parsing those apart, thinking about different, you know, those as kind of an option? What is it? Are you having internal conversations about that? What's that looking like? I love that we're kind of catching that at a fresh time that you're actually right in the middle of that.
Rich, it is so fresh. Like, I really wish I could just turn this around to you and anyone listening who's done this well and say, hey, wisdom, please share it.
Right.
You know, we have just met, gosh, was it even last Tuesday, a week ago Tuesday, as a staff to talk about it and to just say, we think we might need to do this. Mm-hmm. We think we might need to, you know, kind of figure out an alternative solution to some of these problems. We have kind of an overflow area in our service, and the experience in the overflow is terrible. And I hate that for people that come, you know, 15 minutes late. And it's like, I'm so sorry that you are going to now sit in this area where there's distractions and it's just not as easy to engage.
Right.
So as we're looking at, you know, these potential solutions and what way do we want to go? We've obviously got involvement from our board and some wisdom kind of outside those of us that are super close to the problem. But then those of us that are in it, we're just kind of like, okay, let's pro and con. Let's look at what's realistic. You know, one of our values at Capital is that we're going to serve with intentional excellence. So anything we do, we want to do it really well. We're not the church that's going to like throw stuff up on a wall and see what sticks. And it's like an experiment and that's awesome. But if we can't do something well, we're not going to do it. And so, there's some strengths and some struggles to that. You know, I think the strength is when we finally pull the trigger on something, we've really thought it like through 100 ways. But there's some analysis paralysis with that too. So, you know, we're also looking to the wisdom of leaders and resources around us. So some of the sessions I attended at XP, we're looking at multi-site and things like that. I love you. You had asked about anything I'm kind of learning from. I love Craig Rochelle's leadership podcast. And one of the things he said, just like he said it, like I'm tacked on the end of something and I just grabbed and it was like asking a question that you add a zero at the end. So like, if we're looking at adding one service or if we're looking at adding one location, what do we need to do to make that happen? But if we add a zero to that and we're asking, okay, we want to add 10 services, or we want to add 10 locations, we're going to look at the problem so differently, and just have a totally different lens and think more creatively. So we're trying it all. Welcome any you have.
Yes, totally. Now you guys already do, you're in two different locations now. That's live teaching both. That's how that's kind of the core portion of that. So you're already stepping into the multi-site thing, but are, you know, but just the question you're really asking is, you know, should we go hog wild on that and kind of double down on that and get into launching and all that and do 10, which what I heard you say here is you're thinking about 10 locations.
I still really heard. Thanks for hearing me right. Rich, we have 4 weekend services and we do them all live. Our band goes to all 4. Our pastor teaches at all 4. So it, you know, it's a big weekend. We love it. I mean, I think it's so interesting. Like people are always so worried are you so tired at the end of the weekend? And I'm so like energized at the end of the weekend after doing that. So
it's not just the caffeine.
Maybe a little bit of the caffeine. Yeah,
that's
but yes.
cool. That's really cool. Well, that's exciting. I'm excited to hear. You know, I think I, you know, a church like yours, so only 6% of churches in the country are growing faster than the communities they're in. And so my conviction is, and this is the problem. If people ever ask me that, like, well, what do you think? I'm always like, you are growing faster than the community you're in, then you need to multiply. Because at the end of the day, the, you know, we need churches that are making a difference. And I think by not multiplying in some way, and it may not be multi-site, you know, you could do church planting, there's other ways to do that. But by not, you know, intentionally looking at how we're going to multiply, you're actually, it could be restricting the move of God, restricting what he wants to do. And you know, and particularly for churches like yourself who are growing and making an impact or seem to have, you know, God's using it. And a lot of times we can't put our finger on why or what he's using. It's just like, God just seems to be, because we look at it and we're like, it's just our church. It's not, it doesn't feel like anything particularly amazing. It just is what we do. But God, you know, for whatever reason is using it, I think, you know, you need to look at a way to leverage that. So
thank you.
That's exciting.
No pressure, but thank you.
No. I don't mean that as a pressure.
No, I love it. And I think even to what we were talking about earlier, I feel like one of the reasons we, it sounds weird to say like are successful, but one of the reasons we're successful is because we really stick to our vision. Mm-hmm. We really kind of filter everything through it to not try and be all things to all people or do all the different things that we could, and focus on what is, kind of our primary goal.
Yep,
what is our primary vision? And we filter everything through that discipleship filter. Mm-hmm. Rather than doing 100 other things and getting distracted from what we feel called to and what we feel like God uses our church for primarily.
Absolutely. That's cool. Well, we didn't talk about this ahead of time, so I apologize. I'm going to throw you a bit of a curveball here, but I wonder if you could talk through how kind of your leadership is structured in relation to, I think the executive pastor, lead pastor relationship is super critical in a lot of churches and, you know, ensuring that that is structured well and kind of how those lines, who's doing what, all that kind of stuff. But the interesting thing is lots of churches have done it differently. Like it's, everybody looks a little bit different in how that works out. So how do you break out, you know, what you're working on versus, you know, Troy's piece of the puzzle and all that? What does that look like?
Such a good question. So I, just a little bit of background. Mm-hmm. I started attending Capitol in 2006. It was right before I went to college. Mm-hmm. Great time to find a good church. Mm-hmm. And graduated from college in 2010. 2 weeks later, started working at an investment bank. Stayed super involved and connected at Capitol as an attendee, as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. And then about 5.5 years into this corporate career, my husband and I had been married for a year. We kind of had this moment of like, we never really see each other because I work investment banking hours.
Yep.
We had an opportunity to move across the country for my career. And it was such God's provision. As we were on a plane from that house hunting trip back east to come home, Troy called and said, "Hey, this is so different than what you're doing and what you're looking at, but would you consider joining our team?"
Cool.
So I initially joined to do kind of a director of communication and outreach type role, looking at our volunteer development, looking at our communication strategy. Sorry, this is way more information than
you
wanted.
No, it's good. No, this is really good.
And then just a year or two, I think it was about a year and a half into my position, the role just started to change and more things sort of started coming onto my plate, which I loved. Like I just am hungry. I'm like, bring it on.
Yes.
Let's do this. I saw a challenge and I'm like, hey, is anyone working on this? Can I take that? Mm-hmm. And that's sort of how the role came into place. There wasn't someone serving as the executive pastor. Mm-hmm. Historically, that was Troy.
Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic, right?
Yeah. 14 years ago. So there's certainly this transition of like, the staff doesn't totally know how to operate with an executive pastor. Mm-hmm. you know, Troy had sat in that role and then became the lead pastor and didn't replace himself, you know, so there were some pressures there that I'm really still trying to understand.
Right.
But that communication between Troy and I is totally essential. Mm-hmm. That trust, you know, we had 10 years of trust before I moved into that role that made it a smooth and easy transition. And I know it's not for everybody. You know, I love what XP says is kind of your business brains with your pastoral heart is your XP calling.
Yep.
And I'll just be really honest. I'm a lot more business brains than pastoral heart, but Troy is so pastoral heart that, you know, we have the check and balance of each other.
Right.
And keeping that consistently calling each other like, hey, this is what I'm seeing. Am I reading this right?
Oh, that's good.
Is really helpful for everything we're trying to get done because we're trying to get a lot done.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
The other thing I'll say, just kind of pulling back the Capital Church curtain, I mentioned one of our behavioral values is that serving with intentional excellence. Mm-hmm. Another one is communicating with trustful humility. And so we've got to have that level of trust, but also as leaders have a level of humility in both how we interact with each other and lead our team and our church to know, hey, we might not always get this right, though we're striving for excellence. Or you might see this differently than I do. Can you be a sanity check for me before I engage in that crucial conversation? And I want to get it right, you know? Right.
That's very good.
Does that answer your question?
No, that's great. That's fantastic. I think that's good. I know one of the interesting dynamics, which I don't know, I know many you know, where there has been that, where like the executive pastor becomes the lead pastor. And then, you know, I can understand how then that role sat vacant for a while. It's obviously a huge compliment to your leadership that then Troy would say, hey, maybe we'll get you into that, that seat. Just practically, what is your kind of meeting regime look like? How often do you guys meet? And then you obviously have like a leadership team. What does that look like? How do you, just some of the nuts and bolts of that, I think might be interesting for some people that are listening in.
Sure. Troy and I meet once a week, every week. And then he has an open door policy that if I'm in the thick of a project and I need him, I get him.
Right.
I really try not to abuse that because he's a very busy man.
Yes.
You know, from there, we do have a leadership team. Our leadership team meets somewhere between once and twice a month. And honestly, the dynamics of the leadership team have even shifted since I moved into this role because there's so much more of a partnership between Troy and I that historically had been the whole leadership team, which I sat on before. So, you know, we've been together and navigating that. And as a staff, our staff meets once a month, which a lot of people are like, wow, that's like never. but it works for us in this season. We have, like many churches, kind of a balance between part-time and full-time staff. So getting everybody together once a month works for us. And then I meet with all of my reports once a week. And our conversations really are, like, I come in with a list. They hopefully mostly come in with a list and kind of say, okay, what are you working on? What do you right, need? And how can I support you? And again, even in our meetings, we're filtering everything through that discipleship lens. Like, hey, I'm working on this event for X ministry. Great. What's the discipleship element of that?
Right.
You know, so my leadership is to just push it back there to that sort of filter in everything we do. And we're modeled primarily after The Advantage. If you've read or seen that book, Advantage, that's kind of how we
Patrick
put together
Lencioni. Yeah, that's great. Good. Now that's perfect. That's great. That's helpful. Gives it, I think, a sense of, you know, the internal, and we do monthly meetings at Liquid and, for our whole staff and found the same. Like I think, you know, I think you get to a large enough size where doing more than that starts to feel like overkill because you're doing all the one-on-ones and sub-team meetings and all that. That's, I think, fantastic. Well, anything else you want to share before we move on, with the rest of the episode?
The only thing I would say, you know, if it's interesting for people looking at doing ministry in Utah and kind of like, what is it like? I would say kind of two things. One is if you are doing ministry anywhere where you are a minority, seeking to understand before seeking to make a change, is my first advice. There's a great book called I Heart Mormons that, kind of can walk you through the culture and what to expect before you go in, to try and make change. So I think that's really, really interesting. The other thing, is like, I'm just learning too. So, you know, if there are people listening, they're like, hey, try this. I welcome it.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round, that part of the episode where we ask similar questions of everybody that's on the show. Super excited to have Pastor Mackenzie Schreck with us from Capital Church. She's executive pastor there. Fantastic leader. This is a great church. You should be following along. They're doing lots of great stuff. For sure. Mackenzie, what is an online resource that you're using these days that's helping you out?
Super exciting, riveting stuff here, but Church Law and Tax, Richard Hammer's organization. Like, yes. I know it's not exciting to think about, you know,
spoken like a true executive pastor.
So exciting. I love this stuff, but it's very helpful.
It is. You know, it's so at the conference, we've referenced it a couple times now that we met each other at. He was speaking at it, and I was like, this will be interesting to see what this is going to be like. And I was on right after him, and I'm like, I'm not sure how I'm going to follow this up. He killed it. He was amazing.
He was great.
It was incredible. I was like, you know, for someone who, and I've talked more about probably what his, you know, whatever, 1 hour conversation, more about his stuff than I have in a long time for what a lot of people said. I keep saying, like, you know, there's real both the positive nuggets, like, hey, there's some stuff we should be thinking about. But then also just his style and approach was amazing. So that's great. What's a book you've read in the last maybe 6 months to a year that's shaping your thinking or ministry?
I read way too many books. So a book, I would say a big one that I've read recently that's kind of shaping, this is not a Christian book, so if I need to change my answer, tell me. But The Ideal Team Player, so again, a Lencioni book. Mm-hmm. But as we look at kind of our staff culture and sort of shaping how our leadership looks, that Humble, Hungry, Smart from The Ideal Team Player has been awesome. Mm-hmm. Good language for us to just have access to, you know, to have those conversations.
Yeah, Lencioni's amazing. You know, well, everything he does is amazing. So that's great. What's another ministry you're looking at that inspires you?
Good question. We have had a huge focus on small groups lately and kind of revamping that in the last year. So we're looking at kind of the group link thing that North Point is doing. Mm-hmm. Throwback to the book recommendations. I've recently read Community is Messy, Heather Zempel's book, where she kind of oversees all the small groups at Mark Batterson's church. Mm-hmm. And she's phenomenal. So that's been a huge influence in how we structure our small groups too.
Perfect. That's cool. If you could get 15 minutes with any leader alive, who would you want to get that with and why?
Heather Larson from Willow.
Lead pastor from Willow. Yep.
Yep. She is really inspiring to me as a woman in this role. Mm-hmm. And even seeing her trajectory now as she transitions to lead pastor, I would love to just pick her brain and just honestly, hopefully sit and listen and shut my mouth and just hear from her. I am praying for her in her leadership role, and especially with sort of the recent press around what's going on at Willow. It's absolutely a tumultuous environment to navigate as a leader, and I am just praying for her, but really believe that God will use her and continue to use her in really powerful ways.
Yeah, Heather is, she's been on the podcast, and I, she is a sharp, sharp leader and is amazing, and I think the world of her. I think she's an incredible leader, and she also happens to be a woman. So there isn't, you know, I think she's incredible. I think she's an amazing person. And I think even with everything that they're, wrestling through, I think, you know, God's got a great leader in there for Willow at this season. You know, I think, you know, I'm intrigued to see kind of what happens next. I was intrigued to see what happens next, regardless, with just the transition at Willow. And I, you know, and I've said to her offline, I'm like, I think God's got no better people in place than the people he's put in place there. They're incredible people. So, that's great stuff. Sure. They're really good people. All right. So I know being executive pastor at a growing church takes a lot out of you. It takes a lot of time, effort, and energy. What do you just do for fun when you want to kick back, relax, you know, have some fun? What do you do?
Utah's great for skiing. I was a ski racer when I was young, and I still try and ski every weekend I can. Certainly spending time with my family. I have an 18-month-old baby, and that takes some time. I love to cook. I love to travel. Nice. I love food. I eat a lot. So.
Nice. Yep. Great. Good stuff. Well, Mackenzie, I really appreciate you being on the show today. Thank you so much for giving us time. I know you're busy, so I appreciate you doing that. If people want to get in touch with you or with the church, what's the best way for them to do that?
If people want to get in touch with me or the church, I would love to connect with them. They can reach us at info@capitalchurch.com or nice. Me directly, M. Schreck, just like the movie, but spelled a little differently, S-C-H-R-E-C-K, M. Schreck @capitalchurch.com.
Nice. Thanks so much. Appreciate being on the show today.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter @RichBurch or through email rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.